Hello and welcome to today's episode. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Quentin Tarantino just randomly dropping his movie, The Movie Critic, that was meant to star Cliff Booth, aka Brad Pitt. The finalist, apparently, to direct Spider-Man 4 and some other rumors that we're hearing about that one now. Casting news for Scorsese, who's doing back-to-back movies, the Jesus movie and the Frank Sinatra movie. So we're going to be talking about the casting decisions of those ones. And then we're going to be finishing things off here with Victor off the picture for most anticipated 2025. So yeah, let's get to it. I'm James, that's Nan. We're coming to you from Australia and New Zealand, and I'm going to keep saying it. I say it all the time. If you want us to cover anything, rankings, lists, topics, comment below. If you're watching this, comment below. That's what we want. We want to be able to cover stuff that you guys suggest as well, because we want to have a lot of fun doing this, and we do. Me and Nan can only think of so many different ideas, so we need your input on this. So yeah, we'd really, really appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know about you, Nan, but I'm feeling a little bit fiery today. Got a little bit of fire in me. As you know, I've had a really, really rough week. I'm not happy week, that's for sure.
Don't worry, bro. I got Rebel Sport delivering you some boxing gloves.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. But, yeah, so expect, me to be a little bit spicy. I'm a little bit heated during this party. I'm going to do a little bit of venting whenever, it's suitable to do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I reckon we just dive straight in, eh? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Quentin Tarantino, the big news of today that came randomly, and I had to do a double take at looking at this information, just scrapped The Movie Critic, a movie I was highly anticipating. It's meant to come out next year, or at least shooting at the end of this year. It was meant to have, you know, Brad Pitt. I think Tom Cruise was being attached to star in this one. But yeah, he'd written the draft of the script, he'd rewrote it, and then just simply had a change of mind. Those are the words that Deadline had said. But some new information we found out is that Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, played by Brad Pitt, he was going to be kind of the main character in it. And yeah, we know the movie's about a movie critic for pornography movies. That was the main premise of the movie, which sounded interesting. I wanted to see what he could do with it. But Nayan, what are your thoughts on Quentin Tarantino just randomly changing his mind? Do you think this is because of the 10-film limit that he has?
Probably, which is also a silly idea. Like, I don't know why he just wants to stop after making 10, especially if he's making quality films. I mean, it's not as if he's like, you know, Christopher Nolan, where he's like pumping out movies once every 3 years, or Yorgos, which is like once every year at this rate. So he can't really use the burnt out excuse. I mean, Martin Scorsese, will touch upon him later, but he's like 81 and he's still churning out movies at high quality as well. So I'm not sure if he's just lost his love for making films, or if he was always like, when he first started directing, that he was like, I'll make 10 movies and then that's me done. I'm more than happy to.
Yeah.
To retire. But yeah, man, I was like, yeah, I was excited for this film as well, you know. The premise was so interesting. Even more interesting now that Cliff Booth was going to be in it. Like, that's so bizarre. Because isn't The Movie Critic based on a director or a book about a director or something like that? Or a movie critic or something? I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, it's like a movie. It's like, I think it's about a movie critic that does reviews pornography movies.
Yeah, and it's set in the 1970s as well. So that's like similar timeline as Hollywood. But it would have just been interesting to see how Cliff Booth would have rocked up into that. In fact, it makes it even more intriguing that it's even more stupid as to why he scrapped it, because that's just so intriguing that people go to see it and be like, well, why is Cliff Booth here for? But the fact that he just dropped it completely without an explanation, like, he didn't give us. He was just like, I've just dropped it.
Yeah.
People ask him why. He's like, I don't know.
I mean, cool. I just love the line, like, he simply changed his mind. I'm like, it just feels like such a Quentin Tarantino thing. But I mean, to address what you said before, he's always said just 10 movies. That's what I'm gonna do. I think he runs under the philosophy that once a director, you know, surpasses at 10 films, their work quality starts to go down. And some directors, I guess that may be true, but, you know, we've seen time and time again, Spielberg, Scorsese, those are the easy ones where they've gotten even better after every movie, you know? So it's a dumb philosophy to live by. I think it's really going to hurt his final film by the end of things, just because it feels like we had a good movie here, and he was getting the right talent on board for it. And he's kind of, at least how I view it, is that he's looked at the script and been like, it's not good enough for my 10th one, not for my final movie. It has to be perfect. And so we could be at least 5-6 years away from getting this final movie if he is aiming for that perfect final one to cap things off, which is why it's just a silly idea to try and go out, you know, with the perfect film, because, hey, guess what? Perfect movie does not exist. I think it's just a silly idea from him. So I hope he changes his philosophy on that, and he can just kind of, you know, loosen up a bit with it. You know, just make good movies. I think that's all you need to do.
Big plot twist is that he's just said he scrapped it just for like media, but he's secretly working on it behind the scenes, and then just out of nowhere he'll drop a trailer for it, and everyone's like, "The fuck?"
Oh, I mean, that would be. I would be hyped for that. I hope he does that. But the Cliff Booth thing, man. Like, now I want to see it even more, eh? Just to see how that would have looked or how it would have felt. I'd be so down for it. Once upon a Time in Hollywood is one of my favorite movies ever. So I would love to see the character back again. And Rick Dalton, I'd love to see him back too. That would be...
Oh, fuck yeah. My guy. He's my guy.
Yeah. It's sad, but I mean, if he wants to go out with the perfect movie, then he can try. But yeah, I would just say, just keep making good movies. And then when you make the movie and you're like, oh, I put everything into that, I love this one, this one's the best work I've ever done, that's when you can leave it all at the table and just, you know, go pursue other creative projects in your life, I guess. But hey, we aren't Quentin Tarantino, and I'm not going to be mad at Tarantino for wanting to make the perfect movie, because if he does, then hey, we all win, right? What about you guys though? What do you think about this news? Do you really want to see this movie now? What are your thoughts on Cliff Booth apparently was going to be in the film? Whatever it is, what have you thought down below? Just let us know down below. I don't think I even said that correctly, but you guys know what to do anyway. Comment below. All right, Nayan, Spider-Man 4. It's Spider-Man time again, and you know what happens with Spider-Man, don't you? Rumors, all these leaks and spoilers, everything comes out for this. We're going to be put through the blender once again, mate, because it's running rampant. But hey, it's meant to be shooting at the end of this year, out of nowhere apparently. But there's no one to direct it right now. And so the names that have been stated as, I guess, supposed finalists or being eyed to direct the films: Sam Raimi, Spider-Man 4. We got Redemption Time, perhaps. He could be back in, directing the web-slinging character again. Also, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. They directed Game Night and Dungeons & Dragons. They are also in contention alongside Jon Favreau, who did Iron Man and a part of The Mandalorian show. Drew Goddard, who did Bad Times at the El Royale and Cabin in the Woods. So we'll cover up those ones before, and then we'll talk about some other rumors that are in this little segment that we got. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the directing? Who is your perfect fit, even if I didn't just name them before? Do you have anyone in mind?
Not really. Probably not Sam Raimi. He had his chance, and then he had his chance in the MCU with Multiverse of Madness, and that was not as good as we thought it was going to be. If I had to pick one out of these four, it would definitely be John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. I think they would just be able to bring just a different creative visual and shot take to Spider-Man. I mean, we all know Game Night and Dungeons and Dragons had like some really creative shots in that. So imagine what they can do with the spider like swinging around, you know. I mean, we talked about in Challengers how they had like a shot from the ball's point of view. What about the web's point of view? How insane would that be?
We've had that before, I'm pretty sure. An Amazing Spider-Man, the first one. The first point of view.
What? No, the point of view off the web's been shot.
Oh, right. Oh,
crazy, but inventive. Never before seen. John Favreau, he's also just so safe with MCU. You know, he did Iron Man. That's the one that started it all. He's just absolutely safe. And then also The Mandalorian. He did good work on that. So he's probably the most safe director to go to if Marvel or MCU want someone like, wants like a consistently good film. They could easily go to John Favreau. And the fact that he also has that relationship with Tom Holland and chemistry, I think it's pretty much a God given to give it to Favreau right now. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Cabin in the Woods or Bad Times at the Orient.
El Royale.
I think I need glasses. Oh my god. So I can't really comment on that director, but yeah, I think John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein would be my two picks.
I'm glad you said that, because those would be my picks as well. I really loved what they did with both of those movies, Game Night, Dungeons and Dragons. They remind me very similar of in terms of style and the humor that they can do to Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the two who are, you know, kind of spearheading those Spider-Verse movies. So if those directors there could translate to Spider-Man, then John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein could easily translate to Spider-Man and would actually, I think, create a pretty interesting movie visually and one that's actually really funny, far more or like, better than, you know, the MCU humor, which we're getting accustomed to right now. It's not great. Sam Raimi, it's hard. I want him to have redemption because of Spider-Man 3 and the studio interference in that. He's done the best live-action Spider-Man movie to date. No Way Home is very close, in my opinion. But Spider-Man 2, man, Spider-Man 1, both amazing, amazing movies, and they stand at the really at the top of comic movies in terms of the live action ones at least. So I'd want him to have a sort of like a redemption day and get like his hands on that character again a little bit. I wouldn't be against it. The only thing that makes me pause a little bit is just that his tone that he would want to go for with the character just wouldn't suit what the character's been like already. We're going to have a Thor situation where Spider-Man goes from like a, you know, making all these quips and stuff to just being a real serious character who's kind of just, you know, sulking all the time. And it just wouldn't work. I really loved what he did with the Spider-Man ones, but it's in a different universe. It's a different time and a different kind of character. This one's a character that just doesn't suit Raimi and his style and what he would probably want to go for this one. Otherwise, John Favreau can fuck off. He's in Star Wars. He doesn't need to be in... I don't need him in any more MCU things, at least from the directing perspective. I think he's had his time. And it's just too safe of an option to get anything interesting from it. And then Drew Goddard, he could really do something. I've seen both his biggest movies of Cabin in the Woods and Bad Times at El Royale. Amazing when it comes to that visual style. He could put such a interesting aesthetic to the Spider-Man movie. So I wouldn't be mad if he got the job either, but yeah, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, I think that'd be pretty good. To cap off our little Spidey segment here, Sydney Sweeney. I was just going to throw this one in because I thought it was interesting. I wanted to get your take on it. A big rumor right now, so people watching, don't take this. Take this with a grain of salt, okay? Sydney Sweeney's been rumored to play Black Cat in Spider-Man 4. Thoughts on that? Would she suit the role?
I swear I've seen this like a while ago. If not, if it's a rumor, then fan casting for sure in regards to Sydney Sweeney playing Black Cat. I think she'll do fine. I mean, she needs her Marvel redemption, you know. Madam Web, no one saw it. And she's quite keen to redeem herself. I think she's publicly said that she wants to redeem herself as well. And I think Black Cat is a good little fit for her as well. You know, it's not a main sort of character. Just think of Black Cat as Catwoman, you know, like she could literally be in it for like 10 minutes, similar to Zoe Kravitz
and
the Batman. So she doesn't have to have a big part. But yeah, I could see it. I could get on board with it.
Yeah, for sure. The thing that I could get on board with is like, you know, Sydney Sweeney, Zendaya, they've been in Euphoria together. You know, her with Tom Holland as well. They're all in that same like age bracket. So it just, it feels right in a sense. You're not going to get some like really old Black Cat coming in and get some weird dynamic with Spider-Man. So I think it would work well. I'd love to see what she could bring to the role. And yeah, redemption for Madame Web. I think everyone needs a little bit of redemption after that. But yeah, what do you guys think about Spider-Man 4? Sam Raimi, is he the right guy? Do we want to see a little redemption arc for him? Or perhaps Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly? You know, they could be a good fit as well. Who do you think should direct it? Let us know down below in the comments. And also you can let us know about Sydney Sweeney being Black Cat, if that's something that you'd like. All right. Martin Scorsese seems to have more energy than me, and he's 81 years old, because he is shooting two films back-to-back. The first one is about Jesus. I think it's called The Life of Jesus. And the second one is a Frank Sinatra biopic. So for The Life of Jesus movie, he's eyeing Andrew Garfield and Miles Teller. They are, you know, attached to be a part of the film. And production's going to be starting later this year. This guy wastes no time in terms of making movies. I think that's all he does. But they're going to be shooting in Israel, Italy, and Egypt. So, Nan, what are your thoughts on Andrew Garfield and Miles Teller being attached to this movie here? But there's just for just to note that no one is attached to play Jesus. They're just to be in the film right now. Who would you pick to be Jesus out of those two?
Andrew Garfield.
Garfield?
He's got that sort of Jesus-looking vibe to him, you know, the tallness. We all know that he can grow out a beard. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be the Jesus in this film. But both castings, both actors are really, really good. So, yeah, I can't complain in regards to that. Two films back-to-back at the age of 81. Jesus, this guy must know that death is on his doorstep if he's trying to push out these kind of two movies.
Don't say that, man. Don't put that out there. I don't want to be in that reality. Okay, but yeah, the movie is apparently only going to be 80 minutes long. Really short film. And it came from when Martin Scorsese went into the Vatican. We've been there together, by the way. And he was told by the Pope to show us Jesus on screen. And apparently just moved Martin Scorsese to a higher calling, is what it's been called. And yeah, now he's going to make the movie called Life of Jesus. Are you on board for this kind of movie?
Yeah, I will be. I mean, he's endorsed by the Pope himself, and the Pope is the biggest endorsement of Jesus ever. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the Pope told him to go out and make a Jesus film, Martin Scorsese has no choice but to. He's being told to make a film.
Yeah.
The fact that it's 80 minutes is nice, short, and sweet. It'll be interesting to see what sort of direction it goes into. And this wouldn't be the first time that he's dabbled in religion as well. If I recall, he's done a couple of movies in the past about religion, so this would just be another one, so it's not completely new for him to tackle.
Yeah. One thing I hope that we get from this movie is it's accessible to, I guess, almost everybody, just because I think when you make something, a movie that's religious or highly religious, it's hard to, you know, allow people to be absorbed in that kind of movie if they're not part of that religion. I hope that he can make it a little bit accessible to everybody else, and that people can kind of get something from it, even if they aren't that religion themselves. The only religious movie I've seen from Martin Scorsese was Silence, which actually starred Andrew Garfield. He had the big beard, he had, you know, like the Jesus-like long hair. So perhaps he could be the guy for it. That was a great movie, all about testing faith and stuff like that. Quite powerful when you dig a little deeper into the movie. But yeah, one that I think Martin Scorsese could really do, it could be, I don't know about his passion project, but one of his most important and personal movies to himself, which I think it's very important for a director of Scorsese's age and, I guess, caliber. I think every masterful director like himself need that kind of personal movie for them more than the audience. So I hope that's the one for him. But that's not the only news that we got, man. Two films back to back. So I assume the first one is going to be Life of Jesus, and then it's going to be the Frank Sinatra biopic. And so Leonardo DiCaprio, of course, he joins the Martin Scorsese movie. He's going to be playing Sinatra. Jennifer Lawrence attached to Starfield as well, which will be playing his wife, Ava Gardner. I don't know if you know much about Frank Sinatra. I certainly don't. But what are your thoughts on the film and the two stars attached to it?
Yeah, it's completely 180s compared to we're used to from Scorsese, you know, like religious film, then a biopic. So
it's so really different.
It's, I told you, he's trying to push out as much as he can in different genres. So yeah, I don't know much about Frank Sinatra. I'm pretty sure he's a singer.
Yep.
Correct in saying that. Other than that, I can't recall a song. I might know a song of his if it played, but I can't tell you off the top of my head. Leo in it, of course. It's right. It's Scorsese's right hand man. You know, like
yeah.
I mean, yeah. If there was going to be a best man at Leonardo DiCaprio's wedding, if he ever gets married, then it's going to be a Scorsese for sure. That's how close those two guys are. And Jennifer Lawrence. That's pretty interesting. I don't know if the news about her and Leonardo and Timothée Chalamet on Don't Look Up was true or not, about how she said that it was like terrible working with them two. I don't know if it's true.
Really?
I don't know if it's true. I just saw something online and I saw it like more than like three times. So I was like, oh, this must be true. I don't know. I didn't actually click on the article to read if it was like because they were pranking or so much, or if it was like legit heat. But it can't be legit heat if she's attached to this with Leonardo DiCaprio. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure she would have said no.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's a fantastic actress, and I would like to see what Scorsese does with her as well.
Yeah. No, that one I would be quite excited for. Like you, I don't know much about Frank Sinatra. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research into him and see what, you know, information or I guess what his life was about to really get kind of excited for this. I'm just going to be excited on the basis of this cast right here and the fact that it's Martin Scorsese directing it. That's enough to get me excited for a movie. But to get that little bit extra hype for something, I kind of got to have an interest in the subject matter as well. Similar to, you know, how the Michael Jackson one's coming out, and I really want to see a Michael Jackson movie been done right, and we're about to get that. So we'll see when it comes around, but Scorsese confirmed back-to-back movies. That's exciting. That's exciting. And, you know, Martin Scorsese, he's 81, man. I think we just have to really appreciate the like limited time that he has and the movies that he's going to be pushing out as he enters historic and masterful run as a director. So for sure. I'm all on board for this, man. And yeah, I hope that he can win another Best Director, because he has less Oscar wins than Billie Eilish, which is an actual crime. That's criminal, man. Come on. Like,
yeah, but Billie Eilish is his awful songs. Like, that's an easy category to win.
Nah, you still can't. You can't convince
me. Scorsese is in more of a competitive, you know, competition compared to Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish just needs to write and sing and boom, she'll get an Oscar. Scorsese, he actually has decent competition. I mean, this year he had Christopher Nolan going head-to-head with him, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just hope that he can get something. All right, I am going to share my screen. We're moving on to the most competitive segment in movies, and that is Victor of the Picture. Nayan, I've shared my screen with you so you can get a little bit more active in this one. Let me know if you can see it. Are we all good there?
Yep, yes, more or less. Yes. I'm just trying to figure out how to... Oh, there we go. I got it.
You got it. You got it?
We're good. We're good.
All right. I'm glad. Okay, let's do it. So, you guys, Victor of the Picture. You guys know how this works. Actually, you don't. Not enough of you viewed it. So, if this is your first time watching a Victor of the Picture segment, essentially, I am breaking down the 2025 movies and telling you what is the ones that should be at the top of your most anticipated, and I use different tiers and rank them that way. You'll have a visual. We'll edit this all together. Let's just get straight into it. All right, Nayan, this is the last Victor of the Picture, and you can see our boy at the top there. The movie critic got number one. I thought that was the one to be most excited for, because, hey, it's Quentin Tarantino. He's a masterful director, and it's going to be his final movie. That all changed. So there we go. Also, The Wager, this one here, Leonardo DiCaprio is attached to that one. Martin Scorsese movie, that's clearly not happening as well, because the other movies are coming out for him. So that's what we had last time. Demoted from Victor of the Picture. The movie critic is gone, it's scrapped, never to be seen on Victor of the Picture ever again. Also, The Wager, of course, is going, because they'll probably be on another Victor of the Picture in a few years' time. And John Wick Presents Ballerina, she's been demoted from Victor of the Picture. does not deserve to be it, and that's because I've heard that John Wick is in the movie a lot, and it just doesn't seem like Lionsgate really has a handle on the spinoff. It doesn't sound like a spinoff. It sounds like John Wick 3.5 by the sounds of it, so it gets demoted. I think we have to be excited for it now. I think we need to wait and see for a trailer to really get excited for that one. Everything I've heard from the news, not, you don't need to look forward to it right now. Nan, what are your thoughts on the demotions here? Valid or not?
Yeah, completely. I mean, two of the films aren't even going to fucking happen, so of course that's straight out. Ballerina, I mean, CinemaCon did the most harm to this film. Like, the fact that it's called John Wick Presents instead of just Ballerina, a John Wick story or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that John Wick is before the actual title's name is just bad in itself. Bad marketing, bad everything.
And I've heard since CinemaCon, you know, we heard that John Wick's going to be in it. Apparently he's going to be in it a lot. Just a lot. It's not like just a cameo. So.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make too much sense. All right. We're going to get to the bottom row for us now. This is tier 6. Call it that. All right. So we have Fast X Part 2. I don't think Fast X Part 2 can really come off the victor of the picture at this point. It cannot be demoted just because it is meant to be the last Fast and Furious movie. If I don't hear it's going to be the last Fast and Furious movie anymore, then it's going to be demoted really, really quickly. Minecraft, that dropped the row. Apparently, Jack Black is playing Steve. I still don't know how this movie's going to go. It's not excitement, it's curiosity. And same should be for you guys. How to Train Your Dragon, the live-action version. I have said this before. I think it can be something great if it goes in a Game of Thrones-like style. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't trust live-action movies when it's been adapted from animated material. But hey, it does have the potential. I don't think we can deny that. Thunderbolts with an asterisk. Apparently, that's a real thing now. It almost compelled me to promote it to the level above just because of the asterisk. But I wasn't going to fall for the marketing gimmick, so it stays exactly where it was last time. Tron Ares, welcome to Victor of the Picture. It gets into row 6. I've put this in here because the visual style, if they can get Daft Punk in there for the score again, it may not be good. It may not have a great story. Jared Leto will be Jared Leto. He may be method acting. Who knows? But at least it's going to look good and it's going to sound good. I think we can guarantee on that at least. And Pixar's Elio, it's an original Pixar movie. The story is fascinating. Don't know if it's going to be good or not. I can't trust Pixar that much. But hey, it might be something interesting. Original Pixar movies are something to look forward to, in my opinion. Nahum, what do you think about this bottom level that we got going on?
Yep, pretty stock standard. Surprised that Minecraft dropped, but I don't know enough about Minecraft to comment or argue that it should be higher or lower. So I'll just take your word for it. Fast X, you know, it's just a staple. It's going to stay there. He's doing the hard yards right now, you know. ripping all the rev heads right there. Thunderbolts with a star. I mean, most of the intrigue is in regards to the stars. Going to be a terrible film, probably, but hey, that star, that asterisk, that's what everyone's
right
going to be talking about. Everyone's going to be talking about that little thing there next to the S rather than that word. Tron Ares, I haven't seen enough Tron. I think I watched the last Tron when it first came out. Like
Tron Legacy?
Yeah, like, what, 2009?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it since, but I do know that it is a visually impressive movie, and the fact that it's been like, I can't quick math, 15-ish odd years, a bit more. I think it's going to be pretty much like Avatar, you know, the visual style is just going to make it so much more better. And Elio, Pixar original. You can't bet against the Pixar original.
Exactly. Yeah, completely agree, and that's why they are there. Referring to your comment about Minecraft, this movie is a live-action version. I just don't know how it can go. The only thing to really be excited for is the fact that it is Minecraft and the fact that they are doing it live-action. Funnily enough, those two both give you a reason to not be excited and to be excited. It's just we're gonna have to really wait and see for the trailer to get any kind of excitement for that movie. But I don't really trust Jack Black or Jason Momoa in a movie like this. So, hey, that's just me. All right, row 2. We have the untitled Jordan Peele movie. Will this movie ever get a name? I don't know. Let's just leave it as untitled Jordan Peele movie because I feel like it's been like that forever. Still haven't heard anything about it. It's only there because of Jordan Peele. Aang, The Last Airbender. Since we did the last one, it has been titled as Aang, The Last Airbender. And that's a pretty cool name for this. I think it's going to be something really exciting. Great to see those characters continuing their journeys and with the same creators that did the animated TV series. Ryan Coogler's supernatural thriller with Michael B. Jordan as twins. I think that is something to really look forward to. I think it's going to be something special. The studio's had a huge bidding war over that movie, so there must be a reason for it. I think it could be something quite special. And look, new to Victor the Picture, a complete unknown, the James Mangold film starring Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan. Timothy Chalamet will be doing his own singing and playing Bob Dylan. I think that's something to really be excited for. You're just going to see Timothy Chalamet just being more versatile as an actor already. And no, don't say that Wonka is Timothy Chalamet's like musical kind of debut. This is really going to be something where he's really going to stretch his legs in that singing area. And promoted is Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four got promoted just a little bit. And honestly, I don't know why. The fifth row needed an extra one.
And that's so, why I was laughing when you like put up the fifth row. I was laughing because I was like, "What? Why is Fantastic Four there?"
Fantastic Four goes up. I mean, Fantastic Four, it's going to be hard to knock it off this entirely. But at this stage, it hasn't done anything to earn a demotion by any kind. And it is Fantastic Four at the end of the day. I think we get a... Yeah, it has to be something you have to be excited for, at least from a curiosity standpoint. From what we heard at CinemaCon about this movie, it's pretty okay. Pretty okay, and I say that very cautiously. All right, Nayan, fifth row, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's good fifth row. Absolutely excited for Aang the Last Airbender. A couple of casting announcements have come out. The original voice actor for Zuko is coming back as well, which is fucking hype. Jordan Peele and Ryan Coogler's next movie, you know, they're going to be mainstays in that fifth row, if not higher, as you get more information and a trailer for it. And the Bob Dylan biopic, I was surprised that it wasn't in the honorable mentions to start up. When you first did it, I thought it was one to keep an eye on, so that was always going to make it in. I'm not going to touch Fantastic Four.
Oh, it's just because we knocked off a few movies from Victor the Picture.
You literally swapped Fantastic Four for Minecraft.
Yes, and I think that is fair at this point in time. Minecraft, when I found out that Jack Black is playing Steve, who is like that main block guy or whatever, it's just, it kind of turned me off a little bit on it. All right. Oh, my goodness. I skipped a few.
Thank you.
Spoiler alert for Nan. All right. And we got to our row four now. So this is four in here. We have The Smashing Machine. This is Dwayne Johnson's debut into real acting. So that's a lot of, that's something to be excited for already. He's not going to be playing just an extended version of himself. He's going to be playing Mark Kerr, UFC guy, for an A24 movie directed by Benny Safdie. I think, Benny Safdie is a great director, and just this kind of performance from Dwayne Johnson. We have been asking for this, not just me and Nan, but it feels like almost the entire world, for, you know, The Rock to get into some really serious and challenging acting. I think this is going to be the one. Then we got the Paul Thomas Anderson event movie. This one's going to be in IMAX, and it's Paul Thomas Anderson with Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't really need to say much more than that for it to be on this Victor of the Picture, and more specifically into row four. I think it's completely deserving of that. In row four as well, we have Jurassic World. This one is one that I'm slowly building excitement for, and yes, I'm prepared to be completely disappointed. I sure am. But hey, Scarlett Johansson is attached to star for this one. You also have Gareth Edwards, who knows how to make anything look ginormous, and that's what dinosaurs are. So there's plenty of reason to be excited for that. I just don't know if it can make the 2025 release date, but something I heard such great things about from CinemaCon, Michael. This movie is going to be apparently very long. It's going to have 30 Michael Jackson movies in it, and Michael Jackson's nephew plays Michael Jackson in this movie, and apparently he's indistinguishable in terms of the appearance. I think there is so much to look forward to, and you know, who knows, when a trailer comes out, it could be skyrocketing to the top of Victor of the Picture, because everything I hear about this is exactly what I want from a Michael Jackson film. All right, And we're going to the final six now. And who's that on the left, man? Newcomer, untitled Damien Chazelle movie. This one got announced at Paramount as well. And it's Damien Chazelle. I think it completely deserves to be here. I mean, sure, Babylon might not have been as great as what he's done before. But what has he done before that? I don't know. First Man, Whiplash, La La Land. I mean, just, you got three greats right there. I mean, Whiplash and La La Land themselves are, you know, always being contested for some top 50 movies of all time. I think, you know, if Damien Chazelle can really tap into what made those movies work and to something like that, there's no doubt that this movie can be brilliant and amazing and a huge Oscar contender. You have to look forward to anything Damien Chazelle is doing, you know, and we'll get more details in the future and they'll determine if it goes higher or lower in this Victor of the Picture. All right, Mission Impossible 8. This is supposedly the final one. Tom Cruise is going to be doing things that no 60-plus-year-old man has ever done, ever. I'm excited for it, and I just hope we get a good payoff for the Ethan Hunt character. We'll just have to see how things pan out with that movie. Zootopia 2, this drops a row, demoted a little bit. And come on, can we get some news for this already? I'm sick of hearing about Moana 2. I want to hear more about Zootopia 2. This is Disney Animation's next staple movie. It is not Moana 2, although I do hope that movie is good. But until we get more information, it's just going to keep getting demoted by these other movies. Stuff that you should be looking forward to a little bit more. Nayan, what are your thoughts on these rows here?
Yeah, yep, they're all good. In my opinion, that one, two, third row is really, really good. I'm surprised Michael's not higher at this stage, but I think we're just waiting for that trailer to come out for it to skyrocket. Damien Chazelle, I mean, you touched upon it before. I mean, he's had one dud out of four. Any film that he's attached to, just you should automatically be anticipating. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Tom Cruise it's his final, or supposedly final for now, Mission Impossible film. I think everyone's just wanting to see what thing he's going to jump off without any strings attached to him. And Zootopia, I'm sad to see it drop, but I understand because I see and I saw
what the I spoiled it, unfortunately, for him.
But it makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. Is there anything that you massively disagree with on this thing so far? Should people be looking forward to something way more or way less than what I've put it down here?
They should be looking forward to... I reckon Jordan Peele's film could have jumped up into that third row in the spot for The Rock. I mean, yeah, he's doing serious acting, but I think Jordan Peele's films, he's just been consistently fantastic and they've all been really, really good. Whereas with Rock, we don't even know if he's a good actor unless he's playing unless he's playing The Rock. That's the only role that he seems to absolutely nail out of the park, and that's just like a goof thing that's shot him into stardom in the WWE.
Well, I mean, once we find out more information about Jordan Peele, all we know is this Jordan Peele's directing. Like, that's all we know. Once we get anything else, I can promote it. But he can't go higher than that. It is not enough. He's on a Damien Chazelle, not yet. But, I mean, he's damn near close. But we'll have to see. I'm just... The only thing with the Rock movie, it's directed by Benny Safdie as well. He's really great at what he does too. So I think it adds a little bit more... But I was debating between, the Smashing Machine being at row four. He keeps his spot for now, Nan. You have to keep your eyes peeled for the next one. All right, row two. The final three are going to be revealed now. So, row two. We have Avatar 3 and Superman Legacy. Avatar 2 gets promoted to the second one, swapping with Zootopia 2. I mean, Avatar 2, you just can't deny why it's here. It's going to be at the top of its game on a VFX level, and James Cameron has finally, I guess, figured out these characters and the story he wants to go in. I don't think he expected their first Avatar to do as well as it did, therefore he didn't envision it to be, you know, a five-story or a five-movie, I guess, saga. So now that we've gotten the first one out of the way, the new characters are established, I think he can really get into the depths of... the world that he's created here and the characters that have been established so far. I think there's some potential for the story in that one. Superman Legacy, man. I just... Nothing about this movie is making me be like, maybe this won't be good. Everything I'm seeing, I'm just loving it. And I'm starting to get really, really excited for it. It's still DC. It's still under Warner Brothers. You have to have some hesitancy. I don't know if it can ever be Victor of the Picture. Maybe when that first trailer comes out, we can actually see it's going to be something at least visually good. But yeah, I think you have to be excited for this one. That's why those two are in the second row there. And you're Victor of the Picture. This is the movie that you should be most excited for next year. And that's Mickey 17 by Bong Joon-ho. Bong Joon-ho directed Parasite, won Best Picture, and is one of the greatest films of all time. I don't think we can deny that. But Mickey 17 stars Robert Pattinson, and you got him working with Bong Joon-ho. And there's so many Robert Pattinsons in this movie that get killed. So if you're not looking forward to that, at least that should be fun enough. But footage debuted at CinemaCon. We've heard really, really great things about it. We saw... it tested well, all that kind of stuff. Everything we're hearing about this movie is just really, really positive, and you just got to trust Bong Joon-ho. I think that is the movie to be most excited for at this point in time. God damn it, I wish it came out this year, because it would have already released by now, but it got delayed very recently as well, sadly. But Nayan, that is your Victor of the Picture for this one. What do you think about the whole thing right now?
The top three set in stone. I don't see any film going to that second or top tier. I think the three films at the top will interchange with themselves, but I don't see them going any lower, and I don't see any film knocking it out. Like, Avatar's just a juggernaut at this point. Like, it's always going to be hotly anticipated. The fact Superman is the first film in the new DC era, directed by James Gunn, all eyes will be on that just to see how this new universe is going to go in. Mickey 17, I mean, the fact that it's called Mickey 17 and the original, and what it's adapted on is called Whatever 7. The fact that the reason why it's called Mickey 17 is because Bong Joon-ho wanted to kill Robin Pattinson an extra 10 more times. That should get you hyped up enough. But only that, but he's a fantastic director paired with a just as a fantastic actor as well, so that's well deserving it, and not at that top spot. But I think those three are locked, and they will never move.
Interesting you say that.
Interchange.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I could see Superman Legacy being demoted at some points, just because Mission Impossible trailer might come out and stun everybody else. Those trailers for those movies historically have been really good. Zootopia, we could hear some great things about. And then there's always the sneaky ones, those little Oscar contenders that kind of come out, you know, at the end of the year beforehand, and they're like, oh, hey, this movie's coming out. And it's like, oh my goodness, out of nowhere. And, you know, we saw it last year, you know, Yorgos Lanthimos' Poor Things, all that kind of stuff. So there could always be some surprise contenders that could shoot right up to the top. But at least for now, these blockbusters are locked and loaded. It's a stacked year. But I will say that it's hard to see Superman Legacy getting out of the top three rows. That one's a tough one to do. But I would say everything's interchangeable at this point in time. It's a very fluid list. We'll call it that. Because we get so much new information and materials, all that kind of stuff. All right. So that is Victor of the Picture for 2025 movies. That is what you should be most looking forward to at this stage. And as always, when new information comes in, we get trailers, pictures, information, casting news. That stuff will change the order. So be sure to, you know, come back and see if we've done more of them, because we're going to be changing it as we get closer to the 2025 year. I'm very excited to see who's going to be at the top of that list by the end of the year, because I think it's going to change a lot. Nayan seems to think it's going to be one out of three movies. Who knows? Well, who knows could win this one? But let us know what you think. Am I wrong with that one there? Is there something else that we should be looking forward to? Whatever it is, comment down below. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into this one. We really appreciate it. It's a nice little short one today. We're going to be jumping back in later this week, or perhaps early next week. We have to figure that out. But thanks for tuning in. Your support and engagement does mean a lot to us. As always, comment below for any suggestions that you have regarding our show or what you would like us to cover. You know, for social media platforms, you can find us anywhere online at Movie Gains. And if you don't want to watch us, that's absolutely fine. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you pod from. Otherwise, jump on over to moviegains.com. We do a bunch of stuff there as well. Long-form content, box office, physical media, all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, you can just sign up to our weekly email newsletter, and the link for that is down below in the description as well. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Keep bringing the hype. Peace.
See ya.